Let us look instead and as well at this lady in the text who stepped out to meet the Lord Jesus. On this Sabbath day, she came to meet him. She stepped out to do what she thought God was laying on her heart to do, to meet her Savior. And she stepped out for healing. And friend, I wonder if you need healing today, where would you go? And what would you seek to get that healing? There is a craze amongst us involving crystals and the claim that you can buy healing through stones. There's some there. The claims are remarkable. The claims are that these stones can be imbued with power from the moon or the sea or from someone else holding them in their hand. And the challenge is then to take them and to meditate on the stone or to hold it or to press it against some part of you that needs healing or to seek to imbibe that power which somebody else put in it. Friends, can you see how subjective all this is? Can you see how the answer is, it claims the answer is already here amongst us. It's in you or it's in me, and I just put it in the stone and transfer it to you. And I wonder if it really has any power at all. And I wonder if a stone can hold the power of the moon. Is it not better that this great variety of beauty point us to the Creator who has caused all this to be? And through the great works of this world, the laws of science as we know them, and miraculous occurrences, these things have been changed into these different forms. These friends, these stones are made by God. They have no healing power, but they can point us with all of creation to a Creator. Don't let them become idols. Don't seek after them for healing. Instead, come with me to solid, accurate history and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth looking at his claim. It's worth understanding that we can read this text and know that it's for real. And know that Luke, a doctor, wrote this down within a few years of it actually happening, having sourced material from the real people who were there. Not an eyewitness himself, but an historian of the eyewitnesses. And with but 150 years of him writing it down, we have this. This is the papyrus P45, or rather just a page of it. It's in the Chester Beatty Papyri Library. You could go and look at it if you had sufficient academic qualifications and reason, but trust me, it's there. And on it, written no later than 250 AD, is a copy of Luke's Gospel. Just those 150 or so years after it was written. And there are earlier fragments as well of this very passage of Scripture. We can trust an eyewitness historic account of which we have many copies. An eyewitness historic account of a miracle, of a real healing that absolutely happened. So as we look at this account of this healing, three headings I have for you today. Respond, battle, and match. There you go. If they're a bit random, they are at this moment. I hope they will become clear, but I hope also they will be what reminds you of what we're thinking about. Respond, battle, and match. You see, as Luke writes this for us, the first section, verses 10 to 14, in the context of his gospel, where we've come to, we find he is making a special challenge to people to respond to what they are hearing. He's building on the challenge of previous Sabbath encounters, where Jesus has met with people on the Sabbath. And he's forcing us to answer the question, have you responded yet? Have you made your mind up? Have the synagogue rulers made their minds up? And I hope your immediate questions, as I say, have you responded yet, is to what I really hope you're asking, what am I supposed to respond to? And I really hope you're asking, how? How will I respond? These are the questions that must follow. If Luke says, have you responded, you must ask, to what? And you must ask, how? And just glance back in the passage, if you were not here last week, as we studied earlier in Luke 13. Luke, first of all, links back to the fig tree. Jesus has been warning that God is waiting patiently for a response, but that he will not wait forever. In previous Sabbath healings, Jesus has shown complete authority over demons and disease, but despite those occasions, which I'm certain sure went round the synagogue leaders' network, and they knew what had happened, this synagogue ruler has learned nothing and will not respond. He's not worried. He doesn't see time running out. Friends, do you remember Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and his daughter? Oh, he got it. He left the synagogue, perhaps it wasn't the Sabbath, but he went after Jesus to say, Lord, my daughter needs you. There was a synagogue ruler who got it, who responded. Sadly, unlike this one. This leader has invited Jesus into the synagogue. He has the authority to give someone the right to speak or not to speak. He has used his authority to proclaim that Jesus has misused and misspoken and done the wrong thing. Well, at least he responded. But friends, he has denied Jesus and who he is and what he's doing. He said, this is wrong. Friends, don't make that response, please. This Lord Jesus is God himself. This Lord Jesus is powerful to save, powerful to heal. So have you responded yet? To what? To the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. How? Have you responded yet? How? By repentance, not by rejection. Don't reject the Lord Jesus, but turn to him and say, my way's wrong, I am sorry, I need to go your way. As indeed this woman has presented to us in the passage. Luke, with his usual shortness of words, doesn't say that which does not need saying. In recording that she is a pious woman and she's there in the synagogue on the Sabbath, she's doing what's right. She comes to us as one seeking after God. But before we come too much to her, let us briefly leap to verse 17. Let us finish our understanding of the synagogue ruler and where he ends up. I'm sorry to say this to you this morning because it isn't pleasant, but all his opponents will be humiliated. Then again, I'm not sorry to say this to you because it's important. I need to warn you, friend, if you spend your life in rejection of Jesus, as this synagogue leader does here, you will end in humiliation. You will end away from God and the Lord Jesus and all that glory of which we have been singing. Friends, to turn away from Jesus as he offers you freedom from sin and a new life begun in you today is a dangerous business. You're choosing a path with a dreadful end. Please don't stay on that path. Please get off it, even now, even today. Please repent. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Respond as he calls to you and say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Until now, I've walked in my own way. Please be the king of my life from now on until the end. Please send God the Holy Spirit to be my indwelling guide and power. These are the words you can say, a prayer like it, and turn from this way of humiliation to the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll meet this lady there, I think, when finally you arrive in his kingdom. You see, there are those who delight, we're told in verse 17, in all the wonderful things that he was doing. And she is one of those who delights in the wonderful things that he is doing. So as we move from our first point, which is respond, and I plead with you, please do think about that and respond. Friends, let us see in this lady that we should also battle. That the Christian life will be a battle, that we might sometimes have to battle to find the Lord Jesus Christ. She has known this terrible, debilitating problem in her life for 18 years. And yet she is still coming to worship in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, I don't know if she's been there every week. I imagine with this sort of condition, she hasn't. But she's presented to us as one who has come when she can, and one who is pious and searches after God. She's a woman of faith. She hopes, she believes, and so she will battle on. She does what she can. And friends, God asks no more. Oh, the depths of the opposition listed here that God's people might face. Oh, the challenges. We dare not avoid the truth that there is often a link between the physical and the spiritual. She is crippled, but we're told it is by a demon, a spirit, that it has happened. Friends, we're one united person, body, mind, and spirit, and often as not one aspect impacts the other. And we need to be mindful of the whole. If you or I overstress ourselves, we can get ulcers. Friends, if we allow the devil into our life, we can suffer. Let us be mindful of this part of the battle. We must battle also, my friends, as the Lord does here, against the misuse of Scripture. Oh, this passage is terrible when you hear the synagogue leader, who should know better, misusing the fourth commandment. If I may speak gently but firmly, what a fool to so read it. For he's missed so much of what the Lord intends for us to know. When he says, honor the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath. This man is honestly saying, it seems, that it's okay to take your donkey or your ox out on a leash to eat, drink water in the morning. Your animal. Of course, be careful it doesn't carry any burden. That would break the rules. But this woman, who has been bent in pain and crippled for 18 years, should not be healed. How can you possibly make that argument? You do all see the ridiculousness of that. And when we extend the misuse of Scripture that far, you will see the ridiculousness of it, because God's word is good. And it is a blessing to his people. But friends, we must be wise and careful to battle against the misuse of his word. I think he misunderstands so much that the passage teaches to us as well. You see, I think he's accusing Jesus Christ of doing something when the passage very clearly says God has healed. Did you notice that the healing is done to her before Christ lays hands on her? And the text in the Greek says very clearly that she was made straight. And the implication is not by what Jesus was saying, but by God himself at work in this moment. As Jesus speaks, God the Holy Spirit heals. Do you or I know better God's purpose for the Sabbath? Friends, let's be careful not to say that's not God when God is at work. We battle against that too. Friends, so we respond to God's word and we battle. There is a battle that we need to fight. The Christian life, if you started even today, may not be easy. Indeed, you may spend 18 years crippled by something, as this woman has. We've been celebrating wedding anniversaries recently, and Andrew and Anne's picture board is over there. You can sign. Some would say Tracy's struggled 20 years in a battle being married to me. Friends, let's battle for the truth of Scripture. Let's battle against the devil and his works. Let's battle for the restoring of God's creation. But let's not get too stuck in the world's idea of a fight, because that's not what we're talking about. And as I come to my last title, match, it's not the match that you strike to light the blue touch paper on the rocket that's going to go bang. That's not the sort of fight we're talking about. As I say match, even as you respond, even as you battle, I want you to match the Lord's compassion for those in need. Because that's how he fights. Can you see it here? Look with me. See the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Understand it in all its wonder. I wonder how hard the words "he called her forward" hit you. Do you understand the layout in the synagogue? Do you understand where everybody would have sat? Do you understand that the men would have sat to the front and the women and the children to the back? He called her forward. He didn't go to her where she was. He called her forward to show her how important she was, to show everybody how important this act was, what compassion he had, to raise her right up, someone who perhaps has been unable to work with her illness at times and therefore struggled, someone who's had to live on charity and poverty. What compassion to raise her up. And even in the synagogue to touch her, to lay his hand on her. That would have been pretty much not done in most of the circumstances. A man to touch another man's wife, certainly not in public and certainly not in the synagogue. You know, the temple itself had that dividing line. And this is how seriously they took it. There was a dividing line there. It said, "Gentile, don't go any further or you'll die." That was how seriously divisions were kept in Jewish custom and practice. But he brought her forward. He lifted her up. He touched her because of his compassion for her. Jesus ignored the convention. Jesus ignored this silly rule because his compassion trumps bad rules. His compassion wins people over. Listen to the compassion we find in the words of Jesus in verse 16. "Then," literally in the Greek, "must not this woman." The force is very powerful in the original. "Must not this woman be set free?" Jesus' original word for setting free up in verse 12 as he speaks over her is apoluo, not the usual word of luo, to let go, but the word that speaks of final freedom from a debt. Actually, it's used of divorce, which tells you of how seriously the word is, because divorce, God hates divorce. It's not a good thing. It's something which only comes as a last resort. It's very final. And it's a very final word, a setting free, an undoing of legal things. The text is very powerful. Jesus is very passionate about this woman's freedom. Friend, if you don't know him, I can tell you he's equally passionate about your freedom too. And so should we be. And we should be this passionate and have this compassion. As we go out, we should match his compassion. Even as we battle for the truth. Even as we fight to proclaim the gospel, calling others to respond. This is how we do it. This is the gospel road. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who calls people to respond and leads them to a place of healing. Let's pray that this might be us. Our Father God in heaven, we ask those of us who know you that we might match your compassion in part. We know we will never do it this side of glory as well as you do. But stir our hearts, Father, for the lost. as we look at the Lord Jesus, may it be the one thing that brings us to tears. The one thing that gets us off our backsides and out of the sitting in front of the telly to go and talk to people. Lord, we pray we would battle against that which would oppose you and your gospel. The misuse of scripture, getting silly rules in place, the devil as he seeks to distract and to tempt. Lord, may we be those who fight for truth. And Lord, our Father God, we pray that we would be those who call others to respond. We see here the Lord Jesus making that call. Lord, grant us as your people gathered together the joy of knowing the baptistry open as someone professes faith for the first time. Grant to us, Father, the privilege of meeting with those who come back to you. Grant us, we pray, Lord, a freshness in our hearts and minds as we respond again and rise to serve you wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen.